Welcome to TV I Say with Ashley Ray, your go-to podcast for discovering what to watch on TV and getting you closer to the TV shows you love. I'm Ashley Ray, a comedian, writer, and former TV critic, and each week my friends, fellow comedians, actors, writers will drop by to dive into the best TV shows we're all talking about right now. All right, let's get into it.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new quick Caribbean escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.
I'm really excited for this episode of TV I Say. TV Club, we have the Doughboys here. Yeah, we got Nick Weiger, Mike Mitchell. Welcome to TV Club.
Wow.
I got to do Doughboys. It was so fun.
What a hoot.
And now we get to talk TV instead of, you know, fries and pastrami.
Instead of Rick's Drive In and Out, which we reviewed with you. And have you been? I actually drove by Rick's Drive In and Out yesterday, which was the chain we talked about. Have you been back since our episode?
Oh yeah, I go every week. Like,
wow.
Eat there. I mean, I live a block away. It is my usual go to. It really
that
is.
Rocks.
Sometimes I just send my boyfriend over there to get me like a chocolate milkshake and fries because it's like right there. Go get it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a great spot to have in the neighborhood. I do want to talk about some TV news. I mean, I really want to hear about what you're both watching, and I think that's all we really need to get into. But there's some TV news I want to discuss because we saw another TV cancellation that broke my heart. This Fool on Hulu. It got the axe. Chris Estrada, Frank Quijones. It's so funny. And it got canceled because Hulu is in this Disney merger. And they're like, any show that doesn't line up with Disney, we just have to cancel and get rid of it so we can be on Disney. And now another merger has been announced. Paramount wants to buy Peacock.
Interesting.
Yeah. Which it makes sense. That's what's going to happen. All these like little streaming platforms that don't make a lot of money are just going to combine with each other and then try to sell to someone because that's all business is now. But Peacock is the streaming app that I have been in love with, and I'm terrified of it being swallowed by Paramount, which is the worst app I use.
Paramount's not a great app. Peacock.
No, not a great app.
Peacock, home of Doughboy Mike Mitchell's show Twisted Metal.
That's right.
Metal. People should check out.
Yeah, I know. I didn't even hear this news. This is news to me.
Heard, this is fresh.
I had heard that Peacock was going to try to merge with somebody. Like, that's what I heard, that they would get bought by like Max or something, which I was like, if Peacock got bought by Max, I'd be happy.
That's great. That's sexy. I love that.
Yeah.
Peacock and Max together? Oh, yeah. But Paramount?
Paramount is a little bit scarier. Yeah.
With Yellowstone and
right
late night shows. I don't know.
And all of Star Trek?
Yeah. All of Star Trek. I need Peacock to be okay because it also has The Traitors, which is my current obsession. It is the most important show that has ever happened in my life. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, there's been I had heard talks about Peacock joining somebody.
Yeah.
Which I think Peacock's pretty good too. I'm a fan. I mean, Twisted Metal, of course, but it seems like they try like kind of weirder, more fun shows than other streamers.
They're just kind of like
exactly.
Yeah,
Killing It, another one.
Yeah.
They're just
Killing
like,
It, great show, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, goodness. What was that? Oh, they just announced this new one that it premiered actually like 2 weeks ago. It's called Couple to Thruple. It is basically couples that have decided they want to open the relationship and have a third. And so they go to a sex island with a giant mansion and they pick a third. And then if they don't like them, they can swap. And it's basically just softcore porn. But Peacock was like, this is television. Let's do it. And no one else is taking those risks. No one else is giving me orgies anymore on my TV. So
right.
Keep Peacock safe. So, that's really all the TV news. I don't know. I didn't read a lot of news this week. Maybe there's more, but that was all
that's
I cared
news.
About. Yeah.
That is, it's big news.
Either you have TV news you want to share?
Let's see. I was thinking of getting a new TV.
Ooh,
that's right.
Ooh,
I was thinking of getting a because I have we have a nice 1080p TV. It's a 75 incher. So I call it the big boy. But the thing is, it's not so big anymore. I mean, they've kind of been dwarfed by newer models. But also, I just feel like I need a 4K. You know, I feel like I need that 4K display for Blu-rays and for gaming.
I watch TV on like a 32-inch screen that is only a little bit bigger than my computer monitor.
Wow.
So yeah, which people are always like, I can't believe you don't have like a giant TV. You watch so much, and I'm like, well, I don't know. It looks the same, I guess.
Right.
I just got a soundbar like 6 months ago.
Soundbar's transformative.
Wow,
yeah.
If anyone out there is watching TV without a soundbar, get yourself you don't even have to spend a lot of money. The cheapest soundbar you can get from Best Buy or Target is going to be such a huge upgrade over your internal TV speaker on a flat panel.
Yeah. Yeah. It's changed the game for me.
From Rick's Drive In and Out to Rick and Morty. From Mounds bars to sound bars, that's I'm just telling you why. That's kind of like that's where we've gone to where we are now.
I was thinking the same thing. So I'm glad you voiced it. I mean, naturally, yeah. That's the progression.
Yeah,
so you were thinking from Mounds bars.
I'm speaking from Mounds bar to sound bar. Yeah,
sounds bar. That came to mind immediately. Yeah, maybe I should upgrade my TV too. I don't know. It's on the wall. I'm afraid to get a big one because what if it falls?
But the wall mounting is that's always such a pain in the ass. And then every time I do it, it's like, it's kind of nice. And then I'm like, it's a little high. It's maybe a little high.
Yeah.
And then you can't adjust it. Like, that's a huge pain in the ass.
Oh, well, I have the adjustable one.
Okay.
I got the adjustable one, but it's like anytime I want to change it, I can't do it. I don't touch it. I call.
Yeah, it's a two-person job.
Yeah, I use the app and you call a guy and he comes and he does it. But then I have to pay like $90. For him to come do it.
Yeah. So I'm just put it on the stand next time? Do I just not take the legs off and just put it on a traditional TV stand? Is that the move?
My TV is mounted. I cannot turn my computer around to show you, but my TV is mounted.
I trust you. I believe
on
you.
The wall here. And I got like a Sanus mount. And it was like, I try to get like a high grade Sanus mount It still will like sag, you know what I mean? It like still doesn't 100%. I think the best mount to get is just like a classic to the wall, right to the wall mount.
Yeah.
So you know for sure that like you got it in a good spot and it's not moving. I tried to do the thing where I was like, you can take the TV out a little bit and move it around if you want to, but no.
Yeah, yeah, and you get weird reflections on it, but
right.
You know, yeah. You know, it's rare in TV Club we talk about the actual physical manifestation of the television. So I'm glad we could dive into that.
my TV news is that I'm not really, it's funny. I've been watching, I'm doing like what like kids did 15 to 20 years ago is that I'm watching YouTube videos now more than for whatever reason, I've like started. I got YouTube Premium, and I'm just like watching YouTube videos.
Right, you've been radicalized. One might say
you're being radicalized.
I've been watching a lot. I'm radicalized. I've been watching a lot of Wags knows this, but like a lot of like Super Mario Maker, like people playing Mario, basically.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
That's the kind of thing where And it's not my observation. Other people have made this observation. Our buddy Ben Axelrad has said this very thing of like, that's what TV is competing with, is like someone playing Mario Maker on YouTube, you know, or someone just like doing a task. Like, I'm going to do my power washing channel. You can watch me power wash things. Like, because and what used to be like Property Brothers or like, you know, Love It or List It, like these kind of like background shows, these sort of things that you just kind of put on to like settle yourself down or just like half watch while you're doing something else. Now that's like, yeah, someone streaming Mario Maker. And it's really, I find that stuff really compelling. I mean, I love Barbara's. I play video games, but I love watching people who are like really good at something. So if I'm seeing like a streamer, like who's like really just knows exactly what they're doing, playing Dark Souls or something, I find that super compelling.
Wow, I've never watched someone play video games, so that's maybe I should give it a shot. People have said they'd watch me play The Sims, but I thought it was like a kinky thing. I thought it was like a, I was like, well, that, no, thank you. Oh, you know, another piece of TV news. I found out this week there's a show on TLC that exists, and it's just called My Baby Has a Big Head.
Wow,
man.
Yeah,
where was that 41 years ago?
That was just a really interesting thing to learn. Yeah,
could have been. That's Mitch's mom's memoir.
And you know, I watched a bit of it. The babies had some big heads. They did have some big heads. So,
is it a thing? Is it like a corrective thing, or they're like, well, we got this big-headed baby. Here's some things we can do. Like, is it just sort of like, no, you got to learn to live with your big-headed baby?
Some of it's like he's gonna grow into it, but here's like a helmet and some neck stuff he should use.
Sure.
And some of it is corrective, and they're like, oh yeah, there's like fluid, and we're gonna remove
it. Oh wow.
And it's like, oh okay, well yeah, that I don't know that counts as a big-headed baby, but yeah.
That's so specific, though, because you'd think the show could just be like, you know, Baby MD or something like that. And it's just like more general to actually just center it on babies having big heads.
I was shocked there are that many big headed babies, really, I guess.
Yeah.
That I didn't know they could make a season of this, but it exists. It's real. TLC doing the thing. So let's get into our watch list. I want to hear what you're both watching. That's what the people want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
What are you watching?
Wise, why don't you go first?
Well, I know we're going to be talking some food shows.
Yeah.
Actually, the show that I am watching now because of Matt Apodaca is Delicious in Dungeon. This is an anime that is about, that I've watched, I've just started watching, and it is like very soothing and entertaining. You, Ashley, you know the show?
I think I watched this. Okay, the girl who does my hair, I think, put this on. Is it like they go into a dungeon and fight monsters and turn them into food?
Exactly, yes.
It's so good.
It is really good, and it is very like calming in the sense of so Apodaca is in the chat, and he just added let's fucking go.
And yeah, she played it. I came home and watched every episode. I was like, this is so good.
It's the element of just like, because it's you get to watch someone do something. So there's the element of like, hey, we're going to the dungeon and we've got to, you know, defeat this slime or whatever. But then we have all these steps we can take to prepare this ingredient, this monstrous ingredient, combine it with these other reagents and spices, and then we can concoct this great meal. And you're seeing all of that. And it's just like a really nice, like, I don't know. It's just a nice little thing to live in.
Yeah.
And also, this genre has become such a thing of the video game inspired anime, like that cross pollination, that, you know, Ouroboros of influence has now happened, where now like video games were influenced by anime for so long. Now animes are being directly influenced by video games, where they're like, this is just an RPG. You're just seeing the characters from an RPG. You're just seeing the party members from this essentially a video game cast, but then they're acting, they're living in this reality, and so it's, yeah, I think it's a really fun light show. That's just really very, for a show about food, very, very digestible.
Yeah, and the food animation is gorgeous.
It's great.
It
looks awesome.
So hungry, even though they are eating actual monsters. And it's also fun because they go deeper in this dungeon, and so they have fewer ways to actually cook, and they have to come up with like new ways to make fire, and they use all these traps and stuff. It is such a great show.
Yeah, definitely recommend it to anyone looking for something just kind of like calming and fun. TV, I say.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new quick Caribbean escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.
What do you got, Mike?
I'm bad. Like, you know, for me, there's been, besides Dateline, which I just will always watch when it's on, I'm watching WWE SmackDown, WWE Raw, and AEW Collision.
Oh yeah.
And
these
Dynamite
are big shows.
I mean, that is my TV watching right now. Which is a kind of a sad state for me. I was also rewatching The Wire,
which I've had fun doing.
So like, I've already seen it. So I am rewatching The Wire, which I like. I'm almost at the second season.
Yeah, I like to kind of just throw The Wire on. You know, it's one of those background shows that kind of makes you sad, but when you've seen it, it's like, I know to look away. I know when it's about to go down, and I can't take it. So.
It's one of the ones that I like. I rewatched The Sopranos recently. I only watched Mad Men for the first time during the pandemic.
So lucky.
It was great. Yeah. It was so good. I loved it. And I love Sopranos. Nothing can beat Sopranos for me. But The Wire, I like never even really thought about rewatching. And I like started to watch it when it was ending.
Sure.
And kind of caught all the way up. Yeah. And like finished probably still after it ended, but and I loved it. It's great, but I it's been a while since I've revisited. And you know what? It's still great.
Still good.
A great show.
You're
right. It is just kind of a sad reality type show.
Yeah.
A
lot
of right.
I rewatched it 4 times. I took a class my senior year of college that was just on The Wire. That was just a thing they taught. Yeah.
That rules.
We just watched the show and then we'd read some articles about it. And he was like, this is a class. Liberal arts.
That's wild.
That rocks.
It's
I love. Wait, Mitch, did you meet? I'm trying to remember. No, it wasn't David Simon. It was David Chase.
Oh, yeah. I just told the story. I was just about to tell this story.
Yeah. I apologize. I stepped on it.
Yeah, you really stepped on it. I was in Granville, maybe. There's kind of like a chain of them.
Oh,
we're not
yeah.
talking chains. I was in there and I was eating lunch and
I think it is Granville. This is like a bar and restaurant chain.
A younger kid came over to me and was like, "This is after I went to acupuncture." It sounds very now LA-ish. And a young kid came over to me and was like, "Hey, Mitch." And I was like, "Yeah." You know, I was, you know, getting disturbed during lunch. Why? Because you know how I am. I don't want to get disturbed during my lunch.
Of course. Just...
Never happens, ever. He was like, "Hey, I'm from Quincy." I was like, "Oh, no way." And he was telling me a little bit about himself. And then
your hometown, Quincy, Massachusetts.
My hometown, Quincy. And he went to my high school. And I was happy to talk to him. And then I was like, "What do you do?" And he was like, "I work for a producer." He said all this, and then I was at the end. I was like, "Can you say who the person is?" And he was like, "It's David Chase." And I was like, "Oh my god, that's so that's fucking rules."
Yeah, that's cool, amazing. Like you're doing really great.
You told the way you told the story to me and our buddy Evan Susser is you said like I and he's like assistant to he works for a David Simon. We're like, holy shit, that rules. I'm like, no, wait, sorry, I meant David Chase. You're like, that also rules.
Still cool. Yeah, still good.
Yeah, both is good. And maybe it is David Simon. Maybe I'm still wrong. I told the kid, I was like, follow me on like social media. And then he never did. So I don't know what to do.
Oh, weird.
Wow.
It's funny for me to be like desperately being like, come on. Hey, I want to figure out more. I want to know more about you.
Let your boss know about me, maybe. you mentioned wrestling. I'm curious. So I love vintage wrestling. Like I get really into like World Class Championship wrestling. I watch like old clips on, I guess that's what I watch on YouTube. I just watch old vintage wrestling. do you get into that or Dark Side of the Ring?
I watched Dark Side of the Ring, which also, again, like sad reality kind of show.
Yeah, that show's so depressing. It's well done, but I do love it, but I just like, oh man, this is so heavy.
Yeah.
It's so heavy, and like when I see Ric Flair in person, I want to be like, woo! I don't want to think about the reality.
Yeah, I don't want to think about when he put his penis on a lady on a plane.
Right.
You know? There's
that
a new...
It's awful. It's awful stuff.
There is a new season, I think, coming in March. And I at this point, I'm like, what stories are left? What dark is left? Haven't we done it all? What? How is that? And then it's like, oh, no, it's horrible. Wrestling is very, there's so many more stories.
Right.
So when I see Ric Flair, I'm just going to give him a kind of like a sad, like, woo.
Yeah. Disappointed woo.
A little disappointed woo.
Real sarcastic woo.
But that show is well done. It's a well done show.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's great. Yeah. And I try to get into modern, you know, contemporary wrestling. I don't know. I just have a hard time finding the person to root for. I know like, what was it? AEW? They just had like a big match with like two black women or something. And I was like, I love that.
Yeah. I feel like AEW is always kind of pushing. I think they're progressive. It's that funny thing of, I mean, like if you watch, you know, 90s WWE, I'm like, oh, I didn't realize how even how bad it was.
Very
back
racist.
Then.
So racist.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
And when I think about it, I'm like, if you could go back in time and be like, none of this will fly in the future, they wouldn't change a thing. They made so much money.
100%. Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
We got a black guy and we're gonna call him Ghetto Daddy. What do you mean that won't work in the future?
I feel like over time it did, like Rock was in like the Nation of Domination, which was like an all black stable, and they were they were heels for a long time, but then he became like a huge face, and he's back. That's the big news in wrestling is the Rock is back.
Right. I didn't know he was back.
He's back. The Rock is back.
Wow.
Rock is back, and he's gonna like take the he kind of tried to take the WrestleMania spot, and people got really mad, and then now they kind of changed up plans. It seems like they kind of caved to what people wanted in a class, which WWE usually doesn't do, but in a classic you know, bring back Buffy or whatever the hell, like those campaigns, like a, fan service things. They caved. But
they
what
brought,
wasn't
wow.
Buffy? What were like the shows? Was it Heroes? There was like what?
Heroes was one of them. Firefly was one of them.
Oh yeah, and then even earlier than that, like Family Guy.
Oh yeah,
like was
Family Guy.
Campaign.
Yeah, that which is a big success.
Buffy moved networks. I can't remember if that how much of that was a fan resurrection.
Yeah, or if it was like a Brooklyn Nine-Nine thing where they were just like, yeah, this other place obviously wants to buy this, but
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I find myself and Mitch, you know, because you talk about the wrestling, it's so easy to have that be like, I'm watching 18 hours of wrestling a week. And that's like my that's just like a part-time job. There's so much televised wrestling now. Like each of the major federations has like what, 3 TV shows? So it's and they're all like 2 hours long. Yeah. But my big issue with wrestling, I love wrestling, is that I always fall off during the NBA season because my time my allocated sports time moves from sports entertainment to basketball. And so then I always feel like, and then I feel completely lost. Like I'm looking, I was like, oh, yeah. Julia Hart is TBS champion now.
Okay, yeah, it's sure. Like once you fall, once you fall out of it, you like forget all the lore, you lose it, and it's like, but it's, The Rock being bad is I feel like it's because they canceled Young Rock. He was like, I don't have my TV show anymore. I guess I'll go back to wrestling.
Right.
Did you?
I never watched much of Young Rock, but we're friends with Colt Cabana, who we know was on Young Rock.
Love Colt Cabana. Great dude.
Yeah. Great guy.
Well, I loved Young Rock. You can let him know I was the person who watched and I loved it.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
He was the I think he was the Brooklyn Brawler when he was on there. But I'm looking through my DVR recordings right now, and I can tell you what's in the lineup.
Yeah,
it's very funny.
Yeah, sure.
Please.
Okay.
Please.
So first one up is the funniest show on TV. Can you guess it, Wags?
I mean, I think I know I maybe know what you're set what you're driving at here.
All right, say it.
Do you mean The Bear?
No.
Okay. No, people have made the remark that show is, which I really like, is a comedy that's more of a drama.
Yeah.
I thought that's what you were doing.
Yeah.
Inside the NBA, I was being sincere.
Oh, Inside the NBA. Yeah, that is that is one of my favorite TV shows.
Inside the NBA is number one. Dynamite, All Elite Wrestling Dynamite, Raw. Dateline. Tracker.
Tracker, the new one that came on after the Super Bowl, and he tracks people. I want to see if there's more to it.
What's
but
the Tracker up to?
I recorded it because I wanted to, because I thought the Super Bowl would go long, which it did.
Yeah.
But then I actually ended up watching Tracker. and Tracker was like, okay.
Yeah, it has the hot guy in it, and he's, you know, he seems good at tracking, so.
Yeah,
I'm sure he's
a hunk.
Lone Wolf survivalist. He is very hunky.
Yeah, you might want to
Justin
track him
Hartley's
yourself.
Guy.
Yeah. Oh, it's like a wilderness. I thought it was like tracking people across a border or something. I don't know. I was like,
I think it. I mean, I'm just reading the description here. That's what it seems like.
He tracks a child in that first episode.
Yeah,
a child,
he's tracking people, but he has skills to track in different environments.
A child abduction. To kick off the first episode after the Super Bowl. Then the Super Bowl itself, the kickoff show, Celtics, just a bunch of Celtics games.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Saturday Night Live, it's in there.
And the last one with Io, are you behind?
No, the last one with Io, yeah.
Yeah.
Let me see. Wow. I think it's the last
one. It's pretty good. Let me get into my watch list, share some things. I'm going to get into some Amazon Prime Video shows that I've been liking. I think everybody heard about the Mr. and Mrs. Smith reboot with Maya Erskine and Donald Glover. I watched it. It was a good time. It was fun. They are two charming people who managed to look sexy together. Even though everybody was like, they're not going to be sexy. Guess what? They're sexy. They did it. They managed to be sexy. It is nothing like the movie. It's a very different story. Different setup, different lore. So I think it is worth watching. I hope it gets the second season. It probably will because, you know, it's Amazon. They have all the money in the world. The other show that I want to talk about, though, is Expats, which no one is watching except for me.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
No one is watching it, which is crazy to me because the cast is so good. You got Nicole Kidman in here. Nicole Kidman. Wow. Sarayu Blue, who is so cool. You have Flora Chan, who I love from some other stuff, but it is basically a show based on this book where this family that lives in Hong Kong, they're expatriates, they move there for the husband's job. They have three kids and they use like an in-home nanny who's with them all the time. And the mom gets kind of jealous that the nanny has such a close relationship with her kids. So she like hires this American Chinese woman that she barely knows to watch her kids. This girl is like very young. She's texting on her phone when they're out at a night market. And one of the family's kids gets kidnapped. The youngest baby, like kid who's like 4 or 5 or something, gets kidnapped. The babysitter lady is like freaks out and is like, I'm so sorry. Yeah, mistakes happen. And just like moves on with her life. And then the family is like trying to find this kid. Obviously, he's lost. They, you know, taken. He's probably being shipped somewhere. But it deals with like the aftermath of them trying to put their lives back together. They like think one of their friend's husbands had something to do with it because he happened to be in the area at the time. And you think it's going to be this big like mystery of where this kid went. But no, the kid barely matters. They within like minutes, they're just like, anyway, he's gone, moving on. And you kind of, it just becomes more about Nicole Kidman being the most insane white woman in another country. Like, she does not speak the language and she is just, she's like in a grocery store yelling at some guy, like, where's the corn syrup? And he's like, no English. And she's like, where is it? Wow. Help me. And then at the end, she realizes like the guy did not work at the store and he's just a guy shopping. And she's just like, well, okay. And it's just a grade A show of Nicole Kidman being an asshole for just hours. And you don't even have sympathy that she lost her kid. You're like, hey, it's kind of your fault. It's so good. I want to hear. I'm shocked people aren't watching it with the cast. But, you know, I think that's prime. They don't really like to market their shows, I guess.
Yeah, it's such a weird thing of like there'll be like a good, even something like Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Is like, it feels like that got like a big push by Prime standards, but it still is like that feels like it would be so much more zeitgeisty if it was on a different platform.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And probably
This looks interesting. And it's a period thing. It's like set like not in the, it's set a little bit in the past, right?
Yeah. I think it's set in like, they still have smartphones. I think it's like 2014 or something. I think it's Obama era. I feel like, but it's just really cool and really gets into like you follow each of the women in the show and their perspectives and, you know, this woman who like lost someone else's kid and how she's like dealing with it. I find myself each week being most excited about new episodes of Expats and
wow.
Yeah, nobody's in it with me. So
it's so weird that these shows just exist now with no one watching them. It's so bizarre. I guess they shouldn't exist, you know, or this should just be an HBO show that everyone watches. It just is, it's such a weird bummer.
I mean, have you guys heard about this show, Masters of Air?
I have heard of Masters of Air. It's an Apple show, right?
Yeah. And it has every famous person in it because no one is watching it. It has Austin Butler, Barry Keoghan, all of the people in it. And I'm just, every week I watch it, I'm like, how much did they pay to make this thing no one is watching? Like, who out there was like, I need a World War II movie, but with the guy who was Elvis? I don't know.
And I just saw like an article about that was talking about them, all the flight training that the cast did to do the show. And I'm like, so this was not just a thing of just like they had a lot of a big budget, like a lot of work went into it from the cast perspective. Like, I've got to learn how to be a pilot. I've got to learn how to pilot World War II era craft. And then it becomes this show that's just utterly invisible.
Yeah.
Hey, so back strange. Off, Nazis. Hey, no good.
No, yeah. That's basically exactly how it is, because you can kind of tell they shot this like probably right after Elvis and he still had the accent, because it makes no sense. Like, he's like the cowboy. He's supposed to be like the cowboy bad boy who like always ends up okay. But he really just sounds like Elvis being like, come on, boys, just throw some stuff out the plane and we'll be okay.
It was equally as good as my Elvis impression. We did the exact same one.
We nailed that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
But, did you see, Mitch, I know you saw Priscilla. Ashley, did you see Priscilla?
I didn't. But I really want to because I love Jacob Elordi. I do. He won me over. I love that charming tall man.
I do like Jacob Elordi, and it's because he's got his own take on Elvis. But it's the same sort of thing. There's no way to play Elvis small is the thing, because he's just such a walking cartoon, and people know the impressions more than the actual man at this point.
I mean, who'd you think was better, Jacob Elordi or Austin Butler?
Wow. I have to give it to Butler just because it's like, it's just such a more demanding performance. Elordi like doesn't even really perform in the movie. Like it's like all like he's just kind of like this domineering figure, but he's also kind of like lurking in the background, and so much of it is just about Priscilla being isolated.
Yeah.
And also controlled by someone who's like way older than her. So it feels like a less challenging thing, but Elordi's characterization is really good.
I was gonna say Elordi's might actually be like, I mean, I have no idea, but it might actually be like closer to reality of what he was like in
private.
He
seems more like a human being, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Butler's performance is big and fun and great, too, you know?
Yeah, but it feels like what you see in a musical. It's like...
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And it's so funny that the accent stuck.
I mean, yeah, he had to get an accent coach to remove his accent, which
that's so insane.
Yeah, and then he didn't even get the Oscar for it.
To not get an accent for an Oscar for an accent, it's just not right.
Come on, that's not right. We used to be a
you need to get the Oscar for the accent.
Come on, yeah, yeah.
There's a part in Priscilla that Natalie, my wife, and I quote to each other all the time, which is because he's just like also he's very, you know, hot and cold and is using is verbally abusive to the point. But then is like trying to swing to the opposite end is just like that kind of like bipolar unpredictability of someone who's just like a bad romantic partner. So there's this part where he's like. He's like, get the hell out of here, Priscilla. And then she starts to leave. He's like, no, baby, don't leave me. Like, it's like immediately. It's like one line.
We're 3 for 3 on these Elvis impressions. Yeah. 3 for 3.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new quick Caribbean escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.
Let's get into food shows, food and TV. I want to hear all about it. Do you both like to watch TV when you eat? Do you have to have a snack in front of you when you're watching anything? Because I do. I have to, if I'm watching something, I'm like, what is my meal? Like, what am I eating while I watch this? If I got a new episode, I'm like, wait until my food is done.
This is a great question. It certainly used to be the case.
You know what? I should give shit to our listeners. Have we never even had this type of question before?
Wow.
This is a great question. I don't think we've ever talked about this.
Thank you.
And I'm just saying, like, it's a common thought of like, when do you, and for me, I always, if it's a show I like, I'm waiting to watch it after I finished, unless I have like snacks or something, then I can eat that snack and watch it. No problem. But if I'm eating a meal, I'm putting on something that I like have already seen or I don't, or it's a something like sports or something. It's like, I don't mind. Or even like, you know, so much of the wrestling wise, like you said, it's a full-time job. It's like a lot of it is like background stuff. You know what I mean? Like I just like put it on while I'm doing other things or something, but, and that's fine. But if it's like a show that I'm really trying to watch and that I'm into, I'm going to start Tokyo Vice. I've heard Tokyo Vice is good.
Yeah,
I've heard this too.
Michael Mann produced, right?
Yeah, yeah. I heard good things. Haven't watched it yet, but heard good things.
I think I'm going to check it out. But like for that, when I'm watching that, I would not like have like a big hoagie. You know, I wouldn't have a big meatball sub in front of me like the whale.
Right.
We talk about the whale all the time.
You got to put on porno for that.
Yeah.
You got to put on porno.
Yeah, put on some laptop porn.
So the whale is a guy who he's eating and watching at the same time.
Yeah.
It's true. And it's kind of his thing.
Yeah. And like, that's like my thing. And I was like I did one of those like apps where you like track what you eat or whatever. And it was like, that's a bad habit. It makes people overeat because every time they watch something, they feel like they have to eat food. And I was like, oh, yeah, exactly. Anytime I'm like, oh, yeah, I want to watch Abbott Elementary, I'm like, okay, what snack do I have? What can I eat while I do this? So
that's I'm like the place where I eat is where I'm sitting right now. And it's in front of the TV, and it's just like, yeah, I sit down with food and I eat dinner here. You know what I mean? And I eat it in front of the TV. I have a table where I could eat it, but I never use it basically. Wow.
I never watch anything while I'm eating. In fact, I think we try to pointedly have some separation between the two things. And at least for me, like, I'm always like, I want to have like some space to just sort of like, you know, eat while I eat. And I think to your point, Ashley, yes, I think it creates like a little bit less idle, you know, snacking. But also I think it just like lets me focus on the food that I'm having and like enjoy that. So there's like another side of that. I mean, if I want to have some sort of distraction while I'm eating, I will sometimes like have like a podcast playing that I'm listening to. But I try not to watch anything. And also if like I'm watching a movie or something, or if I'm watching a basketball game, the one thing I always have a beverage, but I try not to have like a snack at the ready.
Wow.
Because if I have like a bag of pistachios or something like that, I'll just go through the whole bag. You know, all of a sudden I've taken 3 pounds of pistachios to the dome. And that's not good for anybody. So
yeah, that's a lot of, are you buying it in bulk?
Oh yeah, I'm going to Costco.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So are you both not fans of like an Alamo Draft House experience? You're getting ordering a pizza, watching a movie in the dark.
I don't care for it.
We're going to review that with Drew McWeeny soon, right? That's the plan.
I don't care for the Alamo Drafthouse experience. I actually don't mind it. Yeah. I first off, I find it very distracting, the servers coming by. Like, that's my big issue. But as far as food, it's just like, I want to have I don't want to have a meal while I eat. I don't like eating in the dark. Yeah. Unless you're eating a meal while you eat,
Nick.
All right, can we edit that out?
Yeah, Matt, you got that.
Just lift that out. Can we edit that out?
Let's edit Nick out.
Can we edit me out?
Abadaga just said idiot in the chat.
I don't want to have a meal while I'm watching a movie. Like, I especially not in the dark. It's just, I find it very distracting.
It is so dark in there. Like, you have to.
I thought he was talking at home again. I was like, what he's talking about.
No, it's really dark. Like, you cannot really see your food. And they have a little light under, like, so you can read the menu, but unless you like put the food in your lap, and it's just, but I still love it. Like, it is my personal indulgence. I don't think there's anything more indulgent than drinking a milkshake in a theater while watching a movie. So when I am really
this
like,
is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
So when I'm like, oh, I finished this big project that took forever, I'm going to treat myself and go to Alamo Draft House.
And yeah, that's.
Yeah, I just watch the dumbest movie and I eat like a movie that I'm like, okay, I don't care if I miss part of this, you know? Like, I saw Cats there and it was like, okay, I can have fun.
I went there last week. I go there semi-often. Mm-hmm. And Nick, what I'll disagree with you on is that, yes, having servers come around and take orders is a little distracting, but they get a lot of those orders before the movie starts.
They do.
One. Two, the phone use and talking in other theaters doesn't happen at Alamo Drafthouse because they actually genuinely kick you out. So
I agree. That's much better.
They're so,
so that trade-off for me is like, so it's worth it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, sometimes like they come through at some point in the movie, they give you your receipt or whatever, they give you the bill. And like, it sometimes is a little distracting, but I think it's way worth the payoff. I do think that it is tough to eat in the dark there.
Yeah.
Like eating a burger or whatever.
Yeah, I usually
do popcorn.
Yeah, I do their fancy popcorn or the pizza that's easy. But the people who are like, yes, can I have the chicken wings? I'm just like, what are you doing?
Yeah, oh God.
Right.
Chicken. I've done like a burger and like a chicken sandwich or something there before, but that is even hard itself. You have to kind of just like blindly reach for your burger and then like still have your eyes on the movie as you eat, and it's fucking I was doing some great space work here.
That was really good. I saw the burger, I felt it. Yeah.
but it was genuinely hard to pull it off. But But still, I don't know. I still think it's pretty great. I think it is better than.
Yeah. Maybe after at the end of the day, I might treat myself with a little Alamo Draft House.
I love it.
Wow.
Maybe I might go get they do have really good queso and chips. That is, I'll give it when you go do it. You got to try the queso and chips.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How are those mid-February movie premieres? What's happening right now?
There was a weird one called like How to Have Sex is out. I feel like it's just a bunch of weird European movies right now.
Wags and I went to that with Notebooks.
I saw it. I thought it was good. It made me sad, but it was good. You know.
Oh, Madam Web is out.
I'm gonna go see Madam Web. That's it. I at the end of the day, I'm going to get drunk at Alamo Draft House and I'm seeing Madam Web, and I'm gonna eat whatever novelty web pizza or popcorn they're making for the movie, and it's gonna be great.
That's fun as hell.
We're running out of time, and I meant to ask you, what are your favorite food shows? Let's get into that one at least. Yeah.
Well, one I can speak to is, and I think this is one both of us like, Mitch, is Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, the Guy Fieri show. Guy Fieri,
of course,
a dream guest for Doughboys. Mm-hmm. And he is, I just feel like that show is so watchable. And also, it's the kind of thing where you read in terms of what effect the show has on these local institutions, it's like a permanent 200% increase in business. It's like crazy how much he either revitalizes or, you know, allows a place to endure. And then you add on top of that, like, a lot of the stuff that he was doing during the pandemic when a lot of restaurants were shut down. Like, he seems like a genuinely positive force in food and in terms of, like, you know, just keeping local food cultures alive. So yeah, I'm a big Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives guy. I also just like Guy Fieri as like a guy.
He's
a really entertaining personality. Yeah,
and it's not like Bar Rescue where John Taffer abandons these people in their bars after a few months, like. And they all end up closing like that. I love looking at all the number of Bar Rescue bars that permanently shut down. But
yeah,
Guy Fieri, when I see that plaque in a restaurant, when they say, yeah, we made it, Guy can't. I'm like, I know I'm about to eat something good. I know it's
right
because
and Bar Rescue, which I also like Taffer's Bar Rescue. And I've heard for what it's worth that show is pretty authentic.
Yeah.
Like it's like we have a couple of friends who have been the spies,
yeah,
Jordan Morris
was one of them.
Oh, and, yes, oh, I should have asked him about that. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And from what he's relayed, it's all like, yeah, they're actually doing it. They're actually doing the recon, and Taffer's actually in the SUV with a tablet, and he's actually coming in and interrupting and everything. It's like it's all pretty authentic, but it is such a mean show because he's just like verbally abusing everyone there, and then also at the end, he's just like usually completely distorting their concept into something that they don't want it to be. Like the big example is the pirate bar. He changed into a bar just called Corporate.
Yeah. One of the best episodes.
That's so insane.
Yeah, just
that's
Corporate.
So sad.
And he's like, it's going to get the business people here. I want to be one of John Taffer's spies so badly. That is the credit I want in my life. I just want
I'd love to do
him sending me into a bar. I hear him in my ears, and he's just like, get the jalapeno papas. Get one of everything. And I'm just, and then I watch as some 19-year-old in a kitchen loses his mind when he has to make, like, 20 pizzas.
I've turned the TV on, by the way.
Nice.
And I'm not distracted by it, but South Park has been on in the background. Mm. And I'm like, oh, this is an old South Park. And then to give you an idea of just how long South Park's been on, they're playing, what is it, Rock Band? What's that video game?
Guitar Hero?
Yeah, sure.
Or Rock
Guitar Hero. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
They were both. They're playing,
they both exist.
I think they were playing like the drum set and everything too. But so they're playing Guitar Hero. And I'm like, oh, so this is like over a decade.
Oh,
old.
That has to, almost 20 probably, because I loved Rock Band when I was in like 9th, 10th grade, which would have been like 2005, 6.
Yeah, Rock Band 1 was 2009, I think.
This is season 13, Whale Wars. I don't know when season 13, they're probably over. It's probably more than 13 years ago, right?
I was wrong. Rock Band 1 actually came out for the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 in 2007. So,
Yeah, yeah. Used to go over to my friend's house and play all day.
It was, I mean, for me, it would be like LA comedy parties. There, they would like rock band would come out.
Sure.
I feel like it was a big crossover game. You know what I mean? Like non-gamers. Yeah. And I didn't love it. I liked it okay, but I also wasn't very good at it. So I think that was another issue.
I loved it, and I would always want to do vocals. I was always like, I can do that.
I liked doing vocals. That was my favorite.
It's impressive
part of
what it is. It's
yeah. Well, that's that should come back. Somebody should bring that back. I'm gonna play that. I'm gonna play that and make people watch me play it. Yeah, watch me play fake songs on a thing. That I think people will pay for that.
All of this kind of comes together because when I play video games, so during South Park, there was a commercial for Hexclad, which is Gordon Ramsay's line of cookware.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
And so when I play video games and I turn off the like PS5, it goes to Samsung TV and there's a Kitchen Nightmares channel that just plays Kitchen Nightmares all day. And I'll have that on and I'll just watch Kitchen Nightmares like three episodes. Like I'll have it on in the background and watch like multiple episodes of Kitchen Nightmares, which is back with a new season too on top of it.
Yeah, I've been watching the new season and they've tried to make him nicer. It works. He's kind of nicer and they're like doing nicer stories of people who are like, oh, the pandemic, it was bad. Not instead of just like, oh, I'm lazy and there's rats in my kitchen. So it's nice. It's but I'm kind of
by all accounts a very nice guy. He's a super nice guy behind the scenes.
Yeah,
I've heard this. Yeah. Yes,
and really my favorite. I like Hotel Hell a lot more. I really want them to bring that back. I loved watching him tear apart these hotels.
Well, yeah. have y'all watched the UK Kitchen Nightmares?
No.
Yes, I've watched some of it. Yeah,
it's the best, and it's one of those things where it's the complete flip of the US one. And clearly they had this guy's like, oh, well, he's great on television. This show's a hit in the UK. But for this to work for America, he's just got to be Simon Cowell. Yeah. We got to turn him into an asshole. Because in the UK, he's like very patient. And he'll like have moments where he criticizes people. But he's like, you know, just like we got to fix this. And it's also not like wish fulfillment in the way that an American one is, where it's like, we got you a brand new kitchen furnished by Cafelon. And they've just like completely redone everything. Mm-hmm. It was like, OK, well, we've got a few $1,000 to work with. I'll help you repaint this surface. You know, we're making some minor like aesthetic modifications, but we can't completely overhaul everything because we just don't have the resources to do so. And then he comes in here and he's like kind of like this gentle, more nurturing presence, kind of more like he is on the kids show. And then he comes to the US and he's just like this screaming a maniac.
Oh yeah.
But people love it.
Yeah. Or maybe he just really hates Americans. Like he's nice, but there's something about us that just pisses him off.
It feels a little American fetishy too, that we like.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
We want to get yelled at. I think that is.
I mean, we do. We really do. We love getting yelled at. It's true. All my favorite shows are just people yelling at me mostly.
I've done the long range of like Bourdain, No Reservations. Like back in the day, that's like when I was like, man, even back in like 2007 or 8 or whatever, whenever it started, that's like what made me go to OPA de Cochon in Montreal and stuff, and like try out places when I was in a city that he had visited, you know. And then, you know, I went to Chopped, you know, I watched Chopped for a while.
Great, yeah.
I've made my rounds on like every food show, I feel like.
Yeah.
Chopped stresses me out.
It's a little stressful. It is.
I like Top Chef a little bit more. I mean, I don't watch either anymore, but Top Chef is like, because it has just a little bit more of I feel like it's not as frenetic. And Chopped, it feels like they're immediately putting everyone in danger.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, it's like, hey, here's some bread and butter pickles, some, you know, maraschino cherries, some sourdough bread and some brisket. And it's like there kind of been situations where, well, you can't really make this work. Like I just don't like really honestly even love it from a game design perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love it. I'm like, make it hard. Put a pig eye in there. Make them make them suffer.
That's like, that to me is like an airplane show, or like when
sure.
I like,
yeah, for
am
sure.
back in like my mom's house, I'm like, oh, Chopped on. Yeah. Chopped on.
Exactly. This has been so fun. Nick, Mike, thank you for joining
me. Thank you for having us.
I feel like we talked about so much here. You're going to have to come back because we got to talk more food. if you watch some more things after you do Draft House, let me know if you were able to eat in the dark, if how it was. This was so much fun. Where can people follow you? What do you want to plug?
Check out Doughboys, the podcast about chain restaurants. Ashley was on an episode pretty recently. You can check out as an on-ramp. But yeah, it's me and Mitch, and we go to a different chain each week with a different guest. Yeah. So yeah, find that wherever you find podcasts. And also watch Twisted Metal on Hulock, starring Mike Mitchell as Stu.
I don't even got to do a self-plug. Thanks, Wags. That's
We gave you a whole great plug show last week. Very we did a show. Peacock episode, and we talked about Twisted Metal, gave it a whole shout-out, so...
Oh, I love it.
It's on the TV Club list.
Hell yeah. I love that. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, check it out. And Peacock, just think again about this merger. I guess that's.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you match with Paramount.
Yeah,
Plus,
you're so much we'll better single. You're so strong. You're so independent. You don't need them. Okay. Thank you so much for joining me. Everybody, thank you for listening. TV Club, I don't have any homework for you. I feel like we talked about a bunch of shows you can go watch. But you know what? Go watch Expats, because why isn't anyone watching Nicole Kidman be crazy? Watch it. Tell me I'm not alone. That's all I got for you. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll be back next week with another episode.
TV, I say, with Ashley Ray. Another episode. Another episode.
TV, I say, with Ashley Ray is an Earwolf production made by me, Ashley Ray Harris. It's engineered by Abby Aguilar, produced by Anita Flores, executive produced by Amelia Chapelow, and our original theme song is by Rafia. It means so much to me if you go rate, review, subscribe, follow TV, I say. Let us know what you think and tell your friends. Share with your golden girls. Tell your boys. If you love my TV recommendations, let everyone you know know. For special TV Club members, join my Patreon.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit, credit to the people.
Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new Quick Caribbean Escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.
Hello, everyone. It's Andy Richter here to tell you the exciting news that we are back with new episodes of my podcast, 3 Questions with Andy Richter. We have got a great group of upcoming guests, including some that I've been waiting a long time to talk to, including Jake Johnson, John Lovett, Caitlin Riley, Bobby Lee, Ashley Ray, and Ted Danson. So I'm very psyched for you to hear where they're from, where they're going, and what they've learned. And it leads to some really surprising, heartfelt, and pretty funny moments. So what are you waiting for? Go to the 3 Questions with Andy Richter wherever you get your podcasts now. New episodes every Tuesday.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.